Now, young people especially, I've got something for you. I want to introduce you to a family. And maybe at the end of the service, go and have a look in the display somewhere, because some of them are sitting there with initials on. But this is the family, the Tater family, all right? And if you can find where they are in any of the displays, come and tell me and show me, because they might be moving around a bit, and you never know. But anyway, let's start with introductions. The first is the dad, Dick Tater, all right? And he goes by the initials DT, which might mean something to some of you. A little bit about Dick Tater, because you need to know this, and then I'm going to come back to them at the end. He's really bossy. Really bossy, all right? And always saying to people, do this and do that. Dictating to everybody else what they ought to be doing and believing and saying and acting and so on. And if we were to look in the file of Dick Tater here and look at some of his certificates, he's got loads of certificates. He's achieved so much through his lifetime, always showing off about those. He's got GCSEs and A-levels. And he's got a BA with honours, and a Master of Arts, and even a PhD, and even a swimming certificate for doing two lengths, all right? You can't beat him on anything. He's been there, done that. He's Mr. Dick Tater. Now, secondly, Hezzy Tater. Hesitator by name and hesitator by nature. She's never sure. Never sure, can't quite make her mind up. On a talk like we will have this morning, she'll be thinking about it from both ways and never getting around to doing anything about it. She's always hesitating. And I wonder if we know people like that. Well, we're going to come back to her. She's waiting for others to see what they will do. And then their children, there's Speck, good old Speck, spectator. He's looking at others. And never involved himself, very enthusiastic, always clapping and encouraging others, but always from the sidelines, always looking on, never that involved, never receiving or believing anything for himself. And the final one of the family, Emmy, or Immy, imitator, just about get that one in and get away with it. Somebody who copies other people, always copying other people. Likes to imitate them. A great actress can impersonate other folks, but never sure what she herself thinks or believes or feels. And she has never made up her mind for herself. So in other words, Emmy here is trying to live out a pretend life. And she needs to hear what we're going to say this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, just so you get it cleared out of your mind, there are others in this family. And I haven't got time to bring them on, but just to mention grandparents, the dad, who is commentator, and grandmother, rotator, and so on. But I just didn't want you to be spending the whole morning trying to think of the whole family. So here we go. Catherine read to us a moment ago from Deuteronomy chapter 8. A lovely passage, which we need to go back about 1,400 years before Jesus, to understand that they, in their time, were living in a time where harvest would have been really real to them. Because they were living on the land, no doubt many would have got involved getting all the crops in and having a party at the harvest to celebrate all the food that had been delivered and had arrived. Of course, for many of us, we don't really see that side of harvest. We just go to the shops and we buy our harvest as it's been produced in plastic bags. So it's been a great reminder to remember that things do come from seeds. And each is unique in the way God has designed it. But this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to bring to our attention what Deuteronomy chapter 8 has for us. Which are loads of reminders why harvest is important. It was important for them for those reasons, and I dare say still important for us in the year 2010, and especially important for the Tater family and for any of us who identify with some of them. And the first thing as we go on is that harvest reminds us to remember God. We remember that God is our maker. In chapter 8, all those years before Jesus, as God's people, the Israelites were alive and they were trusting on God. And if the harvest failed, well, they failed and they would not have survived. And God speaking to his people reminds them that they must not forget the Lord their God, their Maker. Which it has to be said, they often did. And sometimes so can we. It's very human. And in the words of verse 12, it goes like this. When you eat and are satisfied, when you build your lovely houses, when you settle down, and when you've got your herds and your flocks growing larger, and your silver and gold increasing, and you're getting richer and richer, and happier, then you will forget the Lord your God. And you will become proud. And it's a real danger, and it's a danger for us when we're younger, growing up and maybe doing really well at school or at college. And hey, this is easy and it's going well. And you can sometimes forget who it is who gives you the abilities and the talents to do all those things and to build houses and to do well at your job or whatever it is. So I wonder how good your memory is. I'm looking at some of these young ones. I'm not going to ask you any questions, but I just wonder, how good is your memory? Or do you forget things? Dare I say, if it's like sometimes it is for myself and for some of us, we're very good at remembering a football score from Tuesday evening. But not so good to remember to do what we were told to do, to go and tidy our bedrooms or to do other things. I'm trying really hard to improve on that one, but it's coming. But here's the point. Do not forget the Lord your God is a command. And harvest reminds us once again at this time of year that God has given us so much and we must not forget him. Have you ever had the experience when sometimes you've been forgotten? I hope that hasn't happened, maybe out in the shops or somewhere where you were forgotten and an hour later mum or dad came to find you. It shouldn't happen like that, I know, but some of us have had the experience maybe where we have been forgotten, a birthday forgotten, a card never arrived, a phone call just hasn't come in. And when it's personal like that, we can feel really upset and hurt. And we do well to remember how that must feel for God, who has made us and given us so much. He doesn't want us to lose contact with him. And he stays there forever, ready for us. That's the danger of settling down. The second one, as we come on, is harvest reminds us of God's goodness. All those changing seasons. It marks a date in the diary. We do ours in September, but there's no fixed date. We could maybe do it at the end of August or even through to October on some years. But Deuteronomy 8 reminds us to look back at the past year. Look back at the past years. And see how God has provided again and again with so many good things. I just love it when I was looking at the pictures that Karen showed us earlier with all the different fruits, vegetables. And we see them in the display, such variety and such colours. And this is the point here that the people of Israel were being reminded about. Remember how the Lord provided for you materially. It's good to think of those things. I think in the earlier prayer, John prayed and thanked God for some of those things that he has given us materially. Clothes that we wear. Food that we have eaten. Now there's a few things that he points out. The first is in verse 3, the bread that was provided. You look, you'll see the bread. And for these people, they had been given bread on a day-by-day basis. The bread was delivered to them by God. It was called manna. It was a miracle. They had nowhere else to get it or to make it. But these people who are on the journey through the wilderness, really tough days, they're given a gift from heaven. Bread on the ground every day for 6 days of the week. God was giving it to them. God was supplying them. That's generous God. And as he did it for them. The second bit of it all was that God gave them clothes that never wore out. And their feet, which could have got so painful and so with lots of health and feet problems, God kept their feet well and healthy during these years. And I think that's a great reminder on harvest, remembering that God is interested in our welfare, our material being, as well as our spiritual, which I'll say more about in a minute. Did you know God cares for you like that? Did you know that God cares for those thousands and millions in the world today who won't have what we have? And isn't the sin of it all that there is enough food to go around this world, but people just don't share, and it's not made available? This is the hand of God at work here, longing that His people would rely on Him, their maker, their giver, every day of their life. God at work. And then as well as materially, see how the Lord has provided circumstantially. Because it's talking about how God has led them through this long journey over many, many years. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way. Through those difficult years, wilderness years. Years which they could have done without, but God was at work in them. He was loving them and disciplining them and making them into the people that He wants them to be as He prepared them for a new land. That's God's love. That's the reminder at harvest that God is a God we can trust and depend upon. And maybe some of us feel like we're going through some wilderness years at the moment. The way life is, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Perhaps we can't quite see God's goodness in it all yet. But harvest reminds us that God does not abandon His people. And He keeps leading them and guiding them and loving them all the way. The third thing is that harvest reminds us of the importance of bread in it all. Now, I mentioned bread a minute ago. This manna that came day on day as God gave them. Isn't that lovely? And it's a verse there that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We eat bread most days. Most of us do at least. I know, are allergic to bread for various reasons. I guess if we lived in a different part of the world, we would be thanking God for a rice, staple part of our diet. And we think here the fact that as well as the physical food that fills our tummies and we say thank you God for breakfast if we had it, or for lunch if we're going to have it, we also remember at harvest that God provides for our spiritual needs. This is brilliant news. For all of us, we've, as it were, been trapped in a world and in a body which is full of sin, and we don't know God as we should. And God, working His purposes out in His own people here, was leading them forward to a new land where there would be a new start, a new hope, a new life. And in a sense, that's a snapshot of our own lives. We need a new start. We need new hope. We need to be satisfied. And Jesus, the bread of life, and that's how He described Himself, as we thought about a few Sunday mornings ago. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And when He came to this world and onto this earth, He was saying and teaching people, yes, food is important, but man can't live just by bread. We need Him. The bread of life, the Saviour, the giver of life. That's what's available in Jesus. Jesus who comes to feed hungry men and women, boys and girls. In our need, when we're scared, when we're upset, Jesus comes to offer us the satisfaction and the answer. The people of Israel didn't know anything about Jesus, but they did know what it was to be hungry. And I dare say if we went around this morning, I'm not going to do it, but say, what's it like to be hungry? It's a horrible thing when you're really starving. I mean, really starving. And here we discover God humbled them. He caused them to hunger so that they could know God and know His love and His provision and know the way forward. That harvest bread is a good reminder in it all that Jesus is the bread of life and we need more than just physical bread. I also want to just quickly say something about temptation, because you know when Jesus was here, He went into the wilderness, into the desert. He was being tempted. 40 days He was being tempted. And the devil came along to Jesus and invited Jesus to perform a quick miracle to turn stones into bread. Now that would have been a great trick, a great miracle. But Jesus refused to do that. And it may, in a sense, as we think of Jesus there, he was hungry. He would have had felt needs. It would have been so quick to solve them like that. But he had a choice to decide upon that day. Do I choose God my Father's way, or do I go the way of the devil? And Jesus stuck with his Father's way. And I just wonder, and it's particularly apt for maybe some of the students who are joining us this morning, but you know, it's for all of us at every age group. Sometimes we get tempted to just go for the quick solution or what feels good, or to do it our own way. And sometimes we feel lonely and hungry, and it would just satisfy us a bit. And sometimes we need to remember what we're being offered is to decide between God's way or the devil's way. And we must always run to Jesus, the bread of life, because he is the bread and he is the way and he satisfies. The fourth one is that harvest reminds us to say thank you. I bet you get told to say thank you at home and at school. We all should say thank you. But it says here in verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know there are some churches around the world today and they haven't got anything like we've got to have at the front. They've maybe just got a cup of water. Or maybe they could just about manage a little bowl of rice or some stale bit of bread. But they're going to thank God for that because that will keep them going through today. And that got me thinking about the fact that when we are satisfied, do we praise the Lord? Do we worship? Do we say thank you? Whether we know God yet or are just getting to know him, we have been given so much. I know sometimes we at home will say grace before a meal, or maybe we say it at the end of the meal. It's a good thing to do, to say thank you to God. But verse 17 points out something a bit deeper in all this. We may say to ourselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced all this for me. Aren't I clever? Do you remember Mr. Dick Tater, the Tater family that I was talking about? All those things that he could say, look what I've done. Aren't I impressive? And what chapter 8 reminds us to do is that when and whoever we are, if we're good at sport or if we're good at singing or music or swimming or exams or anything else that we do, even if we're the best gardener going, we are to remember to say thank you and praise the Lord because he gives the ability and the help that we need for day-to-day life. Fifthly, harvest reminds us of a future hope. That as God leads his people forward, he's leading them into this good land. Just look at verse 7 if you have it open. I'll read it to you though. It's going to be a good land with streams and pools of water, springs, land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where food will not be scarce. Wow. That's the sort of land God was moving his people to. And in a sense, for us, as we look back at the Old Testament here, we can read into that something as well, that for God has got for us people, even in 2010, something far better in the future. A land of incredible provision, lots of things to enjoy, great variety. And of course, for some that will be a reality here on earth, and for some that will be a reality in heaven. And harvest reminds us that this earth is preparing us for something wonderful, a feast in heaven with God, us his people, to enjoy him. And harvest reminds us about sowing and reaping. And that as we live today, we should also have an eye on the future. We thank God for a prospect of being with him, knowing him, living with him through his son, Jesus. Sixthly and finally, harvest reminds us to respond immediately. There's something about harvest. If you talk to farmers, they're watching the skies. Is it going to rain? Can we get the harvest in quickly before it's too late? And this harvest reminds us that a clock is ticking and that God has given us another year of life and health, and we're here today. And we shouldn't take it for granted. And that just as God has provided for our physical needs, so He also has provided for spiritual needs. You know how much He loves us? Well, it's there in front of us. But it's more than just that. How much He has loved us? He has loved us to the earth and back. He's loved us that much in giving His Son Jesus for us. And that's why at harvest time we also thank God for His Son Jesus. And that through Jesus, He demands obedience. That's how chapter 8 ended up in Deuteronomy. It's all about don't worship other gods and go after other things and make other top priorities. Put God first. Put Jesus at the center. Put Jesus where He belongs, on the throne of our lives. And live life through the year for Him and on forevermore to be with Him. This harvest, it's not our fruit and veg that God wants. It's our hearts, it's our lives. And so as I wrap up, think of the Tater family where we started. Are we going to respond to God and all that He's done for us like Dick Tater, always telling everybody else what they should do? What about us? Or what about Hesitator? Well, we're thinking it out, we're not sure, we're finding out a bit more about Jesus. That's good. But harvest reminds us that a clock is ticking. And we must decide for Jesus and know Jesus before it's too late. Spectator, maybe, just looking on from the distance, the sidelines. Interested in everybody else and what they do. Or what about imitator? Copying other people, but no reality inside. Jesus came into the world, the bread of life, to build a personal relationship that every man or woman, boy or girl, who turns to Jesus to say, I believe, I receive you, Lord Jesus. He came to give a new start, a new land, new hope, forgiveness, freedom, an amazing sense that we will be secure and fulfilled and satisfied in Him. We've got lots to thank God for.